Some of you're looking at it, Pastor, you're just not too bright. Well, let me ask you this. How many know that it is very wise, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hands here now. How many know for certain it is wise when you're checking the tires, men, on your cars, or ladies, that it's also a good idea and a wise idea to check the spare? How many know that would be a good thing to do? Come on. Okay, the rest of you are fools. That's fine. Now, probably three quarters of you raised your hand. The rest of you, we'll call you simple instead of fools. We're going to talk about those definitions here in a minute. How many of you have checked your tire pressure on your spare in the last 6 months? Raise your hand. Now, be honest. The truck driver, three out of three quarters. Now, here's my question. If you know that's wise, why haven't you done that? You know what's going to happen when you go home today? You're going to get a flack on the way, and you're going to say to yourself, I should have listened. I should have done something. Now, I'm going to encourage you at the end of this, when you get home, to do it. You know, I've been thinking about that all week. When's the last time I checked the tire pressure on my car? And I know my one car checks the tire pressures. Does it check my spare too? Yours does? You spoiled brat, you. Okay, I know my car doesn't. And so I haven't checked it. I know in 6 months, so all week long I'm thinking, before I get to that message, if I'm going to practice what I preach, I better check that so I can say to them, I've checked mine in the last 6 months. Guess what? I don't think it's been 3 years since I've checked mine. So I'm going to set that as a goal today. But how many times we know what is right, we know what is wise, and it's not until we're stranded on the side of the road and we're getting out our spare, and it's like, oh, I should have listened. Wisdom is crying out for you to listen, but many times we don't do what it says. Just this week, I heard of a young man that made, a very unwise decision, or is in the midst of making a very unwise decision. And I know family members and friends and everybody else pleading with him, crying out to him, make the right decision. I don't know what he will or not do, but right now, he hasn't made the wise decision. But that is exactly what our passage is saying. So I want you to turn to chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 20 on down through verse 23 to start us off here, just to get the idea. Now, Solomon is picturing wisdom as a woman in the marketplace or in the city gate where there's a lot of people, and she's basically standing on a pedestal crying out. That's his picture of wisdom. Notice how he words it here, starting at verse 20. Wisdom calls out aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. This is what she's pleading. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Listen to that 23rd verse again. Turn at my rebuke. Surely, is there any doubt what God's going to do in showing you his wisdom? I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. That's God's promise of wisdom. That he's crying out. He's pouring it out. Really, the question is, do we listen? And I think there's going to get a point in our lives, if you haven't been there already, which you probably have, where you say, oh, I should have listened. I should have been listening to what God is trying to do in my life. Today I want to point out four truths about wisdom that we get out of this passage. And when we're done with it, I think I'm going to ask the question, why wouldn't we? Listen to this. It is really foolish not to. But we do. One of the first things that we know about wisdom from this passage, which we just read, is that wisdom is available We have wisdom's plea. Wisdom is crying out in the open market, wanting us to respond to her. She says in 20, wisdom calls out aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief corner concourses. At the openings of the gate in the city, she speaks her words. Now, have you ever been to a fair and you walk down that midway where all the games are? This is kind of what I picture wisdom. It's that carny standing behind the booth there saying, hey, come win this. It's easy. All you have to do is knock this down or toss this ring or pop this balloon or whatever. And it's easy to win. Let me show you how easy it is. And then they do it and they make it look so simple. And they're just crying out. But you know that what they're saying isn't true. And so you try not to make eye contact. That's the worst thing you can do in the middle of a fair is make eye contact. But you just try to go straight through. I've been to conferences, Christian conferences, and usually after the sessions or after the little sessions, the hallway is full of vendors, full of Christian bookstores or mission agencies or people trying to get you to stop. And you know what they do? They lure you in with candy on their table. If they had donuts, they would have me at every single one. Candy, I have learned, I can resist even though I don't really want to. This is a picture of Lady Wisdom here. She is crying out. God is telling us what would be beneficial in our lives, what would help us in our lives. She's shouting it. You know, why is it then that we think that knowing what God wants us to do is hard? Why do we think that Lord, please show me your will, when the Bible says he is just crying out loud, trying to get us to hear him? We think it's a small voice, that we have to have the tricks of the trade. You know, only those that are pastors really know what God wants. Only those super spiritual people can really discern these things in our lives. And it's that still, quiet voice. Or it's like it's like a treasure hunt where you're searching and you spend your whole life. And finally, at the end of your life, you climb this long hill up to this monk who sat there for years to give you the meaning of life. Isn't that so sad? That's not the way the Bible pictures wisdom. Or we picture it like this old man that we're going to, trying to figure out what he knows, and he's not willing to share it. No. It's the opposite. He's shouting it from the middle of the square. She's sharing her wisdom out loud. The question isn't, do we know? The question is, are you going to listen? Are you going to hear it? It is available. It is there for each of us. Romans 1 is all about this, folks. You know, I know there's ideas that God has this certain ones that he reveals himself to, and there's certain ones he don't, and that, my wife hates it when I say this, but that is hogwash when it comes to the Bible. The Bible says the exact opposite. God is out shouting his message. He is pleading with people to listen, and the question is, will they or will they not? John 1. Verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Now listen to these words. That was the true light, which gives light to only a few special people? No. That was the light which gives light to everyone in the world. God revealed himself to man. God is shouting his redemption. God is pleading with man to respond. The question is, will man listen? Do they want to listen? Are they open to that? So we know that wisdom's available. The second thing we learn from this passage is that wisdom is beneficial. You know, dirt is available to everyone. But that doesn't make it all that special, does it? Unless you're planning something. But wisdom is beneficial. It's not only available to every man, it benefits every man. Notice what he says in verse 22 and 23. How long, you simple one, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in scorning and fools hate knowledge? Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. He's going to go on to say the opposite, that foolishness isn't beneficial, but wisdom is. It's beneficial. It's there for your understanding. But he names three classes of individuals that spurn his wisdom. He starts with the simple. Now, the simple is, I refer to them as the gullible ones. They're the ones that the word literally means open. It's the idea that they're open. They have an open mind to anything. They're simple. Now, this isn't politics, but let me tell you, when I go to bed at night, I lock my door. And the reason I lock my door is I'm not leaving it open for anybody to come in. I'm discerning at who I let in my home. That's why some of you can only come through the back door. I don't want the neighbors to see that, you know. No, I'm discerning, aren't I? It would be a simple person that says, just come in. I don't care. Take what I have. Take my kids. Take my wife. I don't care. Just come in. I'm open to anything. That's baloney. That's the simple. But, you know, spiritually, people do that. I was listening and I was plowing yesterday, and I have limited choices on the radio in the plow truck. And I don't usually go to music. I go to talk things. So I had to listen to a program, and they were talking about a show that has lifestyles on it that are not the traditional lifestyles that the Word of God says that we should have. And they describe people who aren't open to that as bigots. They describe people that aren't accepting of that lifestyle as those that are not understanding of other people. And I'm sitting there, I'm scratching my head thinking I should shut it off because it's bothering me. But I'm sitting there and thinking, why is it discerning to just be open to anything? Well, why is that wise to say, what religion you have, I'm open to that. What style or lifestyle, I'm not going to judge whether that's right or wrong. I'm just open to anything. Sure, it may destroy you. Sure, if you continue in that lifestyle, the earth will quit existing because you can't create after that. You can't reproduce after. Sure, I'll just turn a blind eye to all those things. Why would I do that? That's the simple, the Bible says. The one that is open, the one that is gullible to say whatever you want. Now, do they like it when God shouts from the cornerstone, this is what would be wise to do? No. I just soon be open. I just soon not let it bother me. I just soon like go through life wherever I want to go and fall into a pit. Because that's where they're headed, and you're going to see that here in a minute. The second kind of person that he describes is a scorner. That's the one who knows, hears wisdom, but refuses it. Why? Why do they scorn it? Because they understand that to accept that means a change in their life. It means that you have to accept that there are morals in this world. But I like the way I live. And I can either continue to live the way I live and say I'm disobeying God, or I can scorn God and say, there is none. There is no God. There is no, I don't have to worry about, I can, I know that it might be right. I don't want to do it because I like the pleasure my lifestyle gives me right now. And because I live in the here and now, I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to scorn anything or anyone that says differently just to keep a peace of mind in my mind. That's the scorner. Then he goes on, he says, the fool. The scorner, he said in verse 23, delights in scorning, that there's a pleasure in their lifestyle. That's why they're not going to give it up. So they delight in that. The fool hates knowledge. The fool says, you're not going to judge me. You're not going to make me feel guilty. You don't exist. And because you don't exist, I am God. And I can do what I want to do with no regrets and no conscience. That's the fool. And the Bible says that wisdom is crying out and saying, that's not the way to go. There's benefits to being wise. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 or 8, verse 1 says this. It says, who is wise? And then it describes, the who is wise even makes a claim of a benefit. But it names four benefits in this passage. Who is wise? Who knows the explanation of things? A person of wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Who is wise? It's already saying, if you want to be wise, one of the benefits is you're going to stick out. You're going to be different than the rest of the world because there's not too many that live wisely in our world. And then he says the second benefit, who knows the explanation of things? I don't spend my whole life running, wondering what is the purpose of life. I know what the purpose of life is. God, the holy God, created me, desired to have a relationship with me, and wants me to glorify and honor him. That's my purpose in life. I can understand the explanation of things. I know what's going on in the world. You say, why is there trouble? And so, well, I know why there is. Go to Genesis 3. It tells us why. Man chose to disobey the wisdom of God and sin, and the consequence of that has been death. Will God eliminate that? Yes, he will. In the end, there will be no more death. But in the process of that, why are bad things happening? Genesis 3 explains that. You understand things. And then it says, thirdly, a person of wisdom brightens their face. Look at those who have chosen not to follow wisdom, and we have a description for that. They have a hard look. Their face is hardened. And you can literally see it. And their lifestyle will reflect on their face. But those that live wisely, there's something about it that brightens their face, that is attracting. And then it says, and it changes its hard appearance. It changes their lives. Where once they might have been hard, you see a person come to faith, and you see all those features start to soften in their lives. I can look at some of you and I won't point you out, but I truly believe that's what's taking place in your lives. It's gone from that hardening to the softening of the grace of God in your life. There are benefits to being with the Lord. There are visible benefits in walking with him. So we have God's plea of wisdom. We have the promise of wisdom, but we also have the precaution of wisdom. In verses 24 through verse 32, you see wisdom crying out and saying, wisdom that is ignored leads to death. Notice how he words that, or she words it, Solomon words it, but as Lady Wisdom. In verse 24, he says this, because you disdain all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror comes. Say, that doesn't sound like the God of the Bible. Why would he laugh at somebody's calamity? Why would he laugh at their mocking? Monday morning, you go to work, and you get caught on the side of the road with a soft, flat tire. It's going to be hard for me not to smile. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm gonna look at your calamity, and I'm going to go, they should have listened. Right? Now, you say, that's bad, Pastor. What if tomorrow morning I go to work and I get a flat? How many of you will laugh? Yeah, every one of you. So don't quit pointing your finger at me. But that's the idea here. God is saying, you made your bed. You're going to lie in it. There's consequences to ignoring what I say. Do you do that with your children? Do you try to give your children wisdom sometimes and then they ignore you and then they come for help and you kind of scratch your head and say, didn't you see this coming? Didn't I try to warn you about that? Then he goes on in verse 26, I will laugh at your calamity, I will mock at your treasure or your terror when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me. Sad words here, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. I thought God's grace is always available. Well, I think there's an aspect of God's grace that is always available. But when it comes to unwise choices, sometimes you're going to live with it. God's grace isn't always going to change your circumstances. Why do Christians get this idea? I'm just going to go ahead and sin, and then I'm going to ask God's forgiveness, and everything will be fine. Well, God may forgive, and that's an aspect of his grace, but the consequence of that wise decision, that might follow you the rest of your life. God isn't going to remove the consequences of unwise decisions all the time. Now, I know there are situations where God, in his grace, begins to move in and bless, but I think that's more on repentance than this false idea of I'll just sin and get God's forgiveness. He says, I will not. You will live with that the responsibility of those poor choices because I warned you. I gave you the right choice, but you chose to do what was wrong. And then he says on verse 29, because you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, because they chose to, because they knew but didn't follow, therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with to the full of their own fancies. Wisdom is crying out and saying, here's the answer. Follow it. If you don't, unwise decisions lead to death. Unwise decisions lead to destruction. You do not want to go that way. It is beneficial, just like multivitamins are beneficial, but if I don't take them, I'm probably not going to die. But wisdom isn't that way. Wisdom is saying it's not only beneficial, it's death-defying if you go against it. Or you're facing death. You're facing consequences because of that. He says, I will laugh. You will call. I will not answer. You will not find me. Those are scary words. When you're in the midst of making those choices, do you understand what your consequences are, what the results of that would be? Say, well, how do you know that's true? You ever watch the news? How many things on the news are the result of not following wisdom? So-and-so was killed in a drunk driving accident. Really? He didn't know not to drink and drive? She didn't know not to drink and drive? So-and-so was killed in a drug overdose. Really? They didn't know that drugs killed? They didn't understand that there was a wisdom that was lacking in their life? So-and-so was killed in this crime that they were trying to commit, and as a result, the store owner shot them. Duh. What part of wisdom did you miss there when you made that decision? So-and-so was killed in a high-speed driving accident, teenager. Did your parents ever tell you don't speed? Police officer ever tell you don't speed? Do you think you can ignore the wisdom of God and escape the consequence? Maybe once in a while. Maybe not. People commit suicide. Where in this world do we think that these things weren't the consequence of not listening, of not following the directions that God has given, the wisdom that God is saying? This woman is crying out, don't ignore me. Listen to me. There's consequences that will affect the rest of your lives. Why do they do it? Proverbs verse 29 here says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. To walk in wisdom means to surrender to God. To walk in wisdom, to say, I'm going to accept the knowledge of God. I'm not going to go for these temporary pleasures in my life. I'm going to choose what God wants no matter what. I'm surrendered to Him. They chose not to follow the fear of the Lord. Wisdom has a plea. Wisdom has a promise. Wisdom has precautions. But wisdom has protection as well. And you see that in the last verse. Look at what it says. It says, but whoever listens to me will dwell in safety and will be secure without fear of evil. Does that mean that bad things won't happen to people who walk in wisdom? No. But it means that when it does, you have a God who is with you, a God who will help you, a God who protects you, who keeps you safe in the midst of those trials. I'm reading right now, I finished reading, about Joshua. You know, he in every appearance that we have in the book of Genesis, was walking in wisdom, but yet his brother still sold him into slavery. And then when they finally discover that what God did through all that and saving his people, Joshua says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So, yes, God protected him. God kept him safe. God helped him through those difficult years. All for a purpose that God had. So as a believer in Christ, when bad things happen, I know that if I'm walking in the will of God, I can trust him in the midst of that. But if I'm walking outside of his will, watch out. I don't have that security. I don't have that protection. I don't have that safety that I have when I'm under the umbrella of his will when trials come. So, looking at this, you would say, who would not listen to wisdom? If she makes the information that is wise known to all mankind, if it's beneficial, if going against it is causes critical things to happen in our life, if it's the safe thing to do, then why don't we listen? And the answer goes right back to our choice. Are we willing to make the right choice? Are we willing to do what God wants? Let me just review some of these verses again. How long, Lady Wisdom says, will you love, now talking about those three different people, the simplicity one or the simple one, how long will you love simplicity? Talking to the one that was the scorner, how long will you delight in the paths that you're going? To the fool, how long will you hate knowledge? She's saying all these things. How long are you going to continue in this way? The choice is yours, according to Proverbs. Turn. At my rebuke, she's pleading. You don't have to go that way. Turn. Follow my wisdom. Because I called you and you refused. Who refused? God. I called you, but you didn't know. You know, Romans 1 is all about the idea that we're going to stand before God at the end of time and none of us will have an excuse. None of us. Why? Because he made his light available to all mankind. You say, but I didn't know I shouldn't. What do you mean you didn't know? Wisdom was pleading with us from the marketplace. You refused. That was the result of what you did. You disdained my counsel because you hated the knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. But where's this resting, folks? Is it resting in a God who didn't love you? Is it resting in a God who didn't share with you wisdom? You can't read these verses and not know where the problem lies. They would have none of my counsel. What's the answer then? They despised every rebuke. Well, Proverbs 1:7, again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It starts with a surrender to God. It's a choice that we make. My question today is, have you made the this is a thing that you'll do daily. I'm not saying that there's a one-time only choice. But the fear of the Lord begins with an acknowledgement that I am a sinner in need of a holy, righteous God. Have you made that choice? Have you made a choice to believe in a God who died for you, was buried, rose again, all to redeem you, to save you, so that you could be in heaven with him. That's the first choice. And then daily he gives you wisdom to make the right choices after that. But that choice is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. Have you made that decision? I'm going to challenge you at the end. Josh is going to come up right now. He's going to lead you in a song. This song talks about wisdom. It talks about the idea of how important God is in our lives. But my question to you is, do you know him? Are you willing to listen to him? And if not, I'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service here.